There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. And we are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and hanging out. This is always fun. Do this every year, getting ready to get ready. Well, for me, it's kind of the start of my Christmas shopping season. It's okay. I know the responsible people have been doing it for a while, so maybe they're just in here grabbing stocking stuffers or some extras. And there's people like me that just get started with our shopping here on this. What do we have, like 10 days left? Not even, or something like, 10 days left till Christmas. It's fine. I get all the time in the world. And like I said, every year I come in here and I walk out with a bag of Christmas gifts, and you can do the same when you stop by today, too. You can get in the running for this very funny Bankhead Tunnel Christmas ornament. That'll be given away today. Plus, they have the drawing coming up a week from tomorrow for the gold, the silver, the open-L knives. And those are just some of the items that are great gift items here. Jewelry in here, the open-L knives, the gold and silver rounds, the collectibles from the world of pop culture to everything else to the... People are asking for pictures of these collegiate watches. There's Alabama, there's Auburn. I think there's probably a ton of LSU watches. They probably can't sell those. But there's a bunch of them in here you want to check out, and great gift items at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Plus, thank you to Dewdrop for hooking us up with hot dogs. We've got Dewdrop hot dogs for you and FM Talk 106.5 goodies, some waters for you, Ron baked cookies for us. It's a good time. I want to mention this before, and maybe we can talk about this for a second. My buddy John Sharp is joining us from AL.com. But the story that just played at the top of the hour news there. The female soldier graduates Army Sniper School. It says a U.S. Army Sergeant Maciel Hay, who serves as a cavalry scout with the 173rd Airborne Brigade, passed the Army Sniper course last month at Fort Ward, Georgia, according to brigade release. Her accomplishment marked the first time an active-duty female has passed the rigorous course, coming after a National Guardsman from Montana became the first woman overall to earn the elite qualification. Let me say this, and I know there's probably way more to this sniper training than just the shooting, but as I've worked with people shooting over my lifetime, kids, people new to the sport of hunting, the people that have come to me that have not shot before or shot very little, I will take time and time again, and guys, get ready to clutch your damn pearls, I will take a female shooter any day before a male shooter. The young ladies that I've worked on with shooting, they are absolutely the they have the I guess a better control of their emotions, better control of the excitement around shooting, better control of not listening. So, you know, the fact that this has only happened this one time, if we're talking about just the skill of shooting a rifle, and you just say you can't high grade or anything, you're just going to get 100 guys and 100 girls. Which ones are you going to make the best sniper team out of? I will take the women every time, but that's just in my experience. All right. Without further ado, it's John Sharp from AL.com, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. Interestingly enough, on that story, you're just saying that, you know, my daughter, she's 8 years old, took her to scout camp this summer.
How'd she do?
Grabbed the BB gun and shot better than her daddy ever could. So
bingo.
I mean, it was just amazing. So,
I'm for no, and I, we were talking about it anecdotally, but I think there, if somebody Googles this, I think there's some truth to it, because from in scouting to working with just people's kids, to you know, people that were even adult onset hunters that wanted to get into hunting, and ladies that wanted to shoot. I mean, it's like, I don't know, 70% of the women are the better shooters. They're just more accurate, man. Not that there's not obviously great marksmen that are men, but if you just take regular folks and say, hey, we're going to teach this person to shoot, over time, females have always been, I don't know, easier to teach shooting, too. So there you go. Yeah. Your daughter is one of probably many. They're going to outshoot us forever. All right, brother. There's a lot to talk about here, and I want to kind of go through what happened yesterday. And I told folks when we got in this discussion that I'd talk with you as well about Zogbiak, because so much of the discussion I was in yesterday coming out of the city council meeting from Tuesday was what was policy, what was procedure, what the city council can tell different people who work for the city to do, and then does that violate Zogbiak? Can you help us with this, man? You report on this stuff all the time. What's it question here, and why would it be a question?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Zogbiak's back in the headlines again, and here we go. Because if we can recall, it was been about 4 or 5 years ago, the city was involved in a lawsuit with itself over interpretations of the Zogbiak. So, you know, that's where we're at right now with this, you know, again, differing interpretations, although I don't get a sense that this council is ready to, you know, say, hey, this is, you know, we're going with it this way. We don't care what the city administration says. Basically, what the issue is, whether or not there's two ordinances that do really nothing other than codify state law or establish procedure of the Mobile Police Department. And so these ordinances really don't go above and beyond anything that we've already seen. And these two ordinances were on the agenda for the council to consider. Now, the body cam ordinance, I think, took the council by surprise. They thought that there was no opposition, that really wasn't telling the police to do anything any different than what state law does. But it is an ordinance that goes into city law that is codifies what's already existing in state law. The one with the pre-dawn raids, the ordinance that basically outlaws pre-dawn raids, is a follow-up to Mayor Stimson's order from last month. But it puts it in a level of permanency with the city, and I think there was more concerns with that particular, if I'm not incorrect by that, I think there was more concerns with that one from the police officers. I mean, there was about 50 of them that showed up in uniform at the city council meeting on Tuesday. They were concerned about, you know, the message was, well, you know, the council cannot set an ordinance regulating how we police our procedures. The concern from the council members is, well, we're not telling you how to proceed. We are establishing policy as a legislative branch. So that is the dispute right now. The city administration wants to get this cleared up. That's why they're going to forward it to the Alabama Attorney General's office to see if they can take a look at what's written in Zogby and see whether or not what the Mobile City Council is doing, if it's going above and beyond what the Zogby Act allows. Now, my understanding on Zogby is that the city council cannot direct city employees within the administration to do certain things.
Yeah, that's what I understand, too.
Applies to legislative actions that are an ordinance. That is what the question is. What I find interesting, whether or not, you know, that is Mobile just, would Mobile be the only city that's restricted for establishing policy regulating policing? I'm kind of looking into that right now to see whether or not other cities, you know, this is an issue up in Decatur. Actually, I reached out to the mayor in Decatur and council members, and they're not actually looking at setting any kind of ordinances regulating policing. And the reason why I bring up Decatur is they recently had a controversial incident up there involving a fatal encounter with police and a citizen. And that's gotten a lot of attention up in that area. And so I did reach out to them. They have not actually voted on an ordinance that would regulate police or be even perceived as regulating policing. And I think where the Mobile City Council is getting at is, well, wait, we're not really doing the same thing either. We're just codifying what's already on the books.
But that's taking it to the next. Like, the thing you want to have happen is happening, but then city council, those that want to do this on council, are saying, though, we need to codify this. But the thing is already happening, so it's like maybe making a problem where it's not needed, right? I mean,
that's a good argument. Yeah, Councilman Reynolds also he stated to that fact already. So, you know, this is an emotional issue, an emotional time in the city. I mean, there's no escaping that. And, you know, council members are hearing from their constituents, you got to do something. So that's what they're, that's kind of how this is, where we've gotten to this point, is that you have to do something moment. And this is the council's reaction to that.
But it's being done. What do you have to do? I mean, it's already happening. You have to do something, but they're already doing it. I guess.
Right. Exactly. Well, right. That's the point on codifying the state law. It's already in the books. So that's all. You know what I'm saying? Cam footage is exactly what they're doing. It's just following what state law says, but applying it with the word, you know, putting Mobile into their ordinance.
Am I being cynical that says that that's just like almost like political, just to do it to say, look what we're doing, but it's already the thing. But look, I went and did it too. I mean, am I missing something?
Well, you know, no, you're not. The statements that have been made by the city council over the last couple of months is, you know, and it's been to some of the public that's come up and spoken at these council meetings, is if you want body cam footage to be released, this is really a state legislative action. I mean, it takes the state legislature to do this, not the city of Mobile. The city of Mobile, and then this is all has to do with home rule in this state, the city of Mobile cannot vote on an ordinance that says, Mobile police, you have to release body cam footage if they're two family members and to the press. I mean, they cannot do that. That's a state legislative matter. And that just, you know, it falls in the laps of the legislature, which it would be, you know, an uphill climb, as we've seen over the last couple of years with regards to body cam transparency. But, you know, that's where that battle really needs to take place.
All right, just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com and talking about some of the things going on at the city council meeting from Tuesday. So, Zogby, too. So, you're talking about the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, being offered. He will offer an opinion, right? He won't do anything, right? It's just going to be his opinion on what Zogby is?
Yeah.
Is that? But they also have, the city council has their attorney that you would think should know Zogby pretty darn well, is maybe better than the Attorney General, or am I missing something?
Well, I mean, it's a discussion. I mean, the city council has their attorney. Ricardo Woods is the attorney for the city administration, and they just
right. But shouldn't they be more boned up on Zogby than the Attorney General?
Right, but you also have a differing opinion between the council and the administration on this. So, what do? You take it to the Attorney General to say, well, I mean, you point out, you know, the Attorney General's office is going to take a look at what, you know, the chapter or Mobile this all applies to, and the Zogby Act, and, you know, he'll come back with a decision or with a recommendation. Of course, the city can move with whatever way it wants to go with this, but I mean, that's all I can report for right now. It's going to the Attorney General's office. Now, the issue at hand was, you know, whether or not they should table this or just vote for a 30-day delay, and actually a supermajority of the five out of seven members decided, let's table it for 30 days, and then the AG's office will come back. I mean, is that enough time for the AG's office to dive into this issue? Probably not, but I don't know. Maybe they might, but January 11th is when the 30 days, and we have the holidays approaching, so you know, we'll wait and see. I think that was the argument that Councilwoman Gregory said, is 30 days is just not enough. So this may get strung out for a while.
Well, but let's say that... That's what makes me think there's, you know, obviously always politics at play. But if the policy is right now how they want to codify it, that's what we're working under right now. We're going to wait for the Attorney General to give an opinion on this. Why do you have to nothing's changing. So if you feel like you just got to codify it and you believe in doing it for real, not just for political attaboys or attagirls, then you don't care if it takes 60, 90, 120 days or more to get around a vote to codify it after hearing from the Attorney General, because the policy is going the same way you would have it going after codifying it. So I guess the timeline to me just seems like somebody wants to say, yeah, I'm solving problems out there.
I mean, that could be the case. I mean, you would have to ask the council members that or approach them with that. That's not up to me to decide. But, yeah, you know, who knows in a month from now what new issue might pop up and they may want to weigh in on, too. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of, this is a fluid situation. Of course, you know, we got a federal lawsuit out there now on the handling of the Juwan Dallas case. And so council members may be more restricted on what they can say and do, the same with the city administration, because of this lawsuit that's out there, and that's probably going to take quite some time to litigate.
For sure. John, as always, man, I appreciate your time on with us. Tell folks how to reach out to you on social media and to check you, your stories as they come out at AL.com.
Well, AL.com, and my stories are up there, as they come. And then, of course, Twitter, at JohnSharp99, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But I can be found at JohnSharp99, and I post everything on there as well.
Good stuff, John. As always, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he goes, John Sharp with AL.com. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. People stopping by, getting Christmas gifts, getting Dewdrop hot dogs, FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Also getting the running for this Christmas ornament that has the RV running into the banquette tunnel, which is amusing me greatly, plus other great prizes in the raffle. Stop on by and see us right here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And your chance to get your, either like for some people, get like Christmas finalized, get stocking stuffers. Maybe for people like me, get Christmas shopping started. Listen, wherever you are on the, what do people call everything these days? Is a journey. On your Christmas shopping journey. Wherever you are on the Christmas shopping spectrum, there's something here for you at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So take part in it. Going to talk to Ron here in just a little bit, about 5-10 minutes from now. Walk through some of the great gift items here. And maybe, I think because I bought most of mine by now, I can talk about them before y'all come in and buy them. And a reminder, too, I have at least twice already, come by and enjoy a Dewdrop hot dog. You got a box full of Dewdrop hot dogs, FM Talk 106.5 goodies, and the drawings coming up. Drawing number one happening today for the Bankhead Tunnel Christmas ornament. It's got the RV that has gotten its top peeled back going in the Bankhead Tunnel. That Christmas ornament, very funny. That's going to be given away today. And raffles also for gold, silver, open L knives, and a whole bunch more of these gift ideas. So stop by and do that. All right, we can grab some text here from the Ascension Technologies text line. And that's at 343-0106. And I also want to point out, too, just earlier, that I was mentioning, like getting the house ready and cleaned out for Christmas holidays with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I look up and my man Trey from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And hopefully we'll get our picture made here for you. He's in. This is a pretty Mobile setting. You got Trey from 1-800-GOT-JUNK inside Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry eating a Dewdrop hot dog. I think that's a trifecta. I think there may be a law against that. I don't know, but we'll see if we can violate it here in just a little bit. All right, from the text line, Brad says, I can see why MPD officers would be concerned. If the city goes changing state business and no one says anything, what will they try next? Okay. Oh, all right. This is actually the first text from that person. Said, here's the thing. The city cannot issue or approve a search warrant. It is a state function that happens at the district or circuit court. It is not a municipal matter. This is an issue for the legislature, if there even is one. And here's what I'm seeing. And, Brad, I appreciate that. The question is, and oh, by the way, we just got an update from Cheese Wagon. Thank you. There's a truck broken down in the Wallace Tunnel westbound. Okay, so westbound Wallace Tunnel, truck broken down. Obviously, we're going to have traffic backed up there. All right, my question was this. Outside of a political motivation to say you've done something, if you believe the policy needs to be different, okay, and that's what happened a month ago with the change to policy going forward from the executive branch, right? So Mayor Stimson and associated members of the executive branch. Remember, you got legislative, executive, and judicial, even at a city level. So you've got the executive branch saying, okay, here are the policies. So the policies are going as you would want them if you're one of these members of the council. So what is the need to come down and codify them? You'd say what? Well, so there'll be laws, Sean. Well, it already is the policy. It can't be the law, like Brad said, from the municipal level. So what you're doing is just like So if you want to wait for to see if you can do a but the policy is going as you want to it, then why don't you wait for the attorney general to get back with more work? So if it's tabled for 30 days, 60 days, 120 days or more, what does it matter? It's not like the policy is different than what you want it to be. Certain members of the council, it is like you want it to be. So why do you have to do something now? And maybe they can tell me why I'm wrong, but to me it feels like, so somebody can say, look what I'm doing. I'm yeah, that thing that's already happening, yeah, I'm for it, and I'm going to codify it. Even though it might be a violation of the Zogby Act. But, you know, there's always that. All right, coming back. More Midday Mobile. We are live at Midday. Midday. We're live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Having a great time here. A big thank you to Ron and Anna and Nancy and everybody having us out here. Always enjoy it. And Ron, we're going to bring in a lot of items to talk about here. And I want to kind of get the, first of all, probably the most important question on things that are right now in your store at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and the artistry of what's in here.
Yeah, knives.
The cookies. The cookies you made, Ron. So
they're pretty artistic cookies.
They're pretty fantastic, and they're how do you make? Because people said they're not homemade because they're uniform in size.
Yeah, I just use an ice cream scooper, a small one. You can buy them in different sizes, and I just make them all about the same size.
So you're Ron, no matter whether you're doing collectibles, you're doing gold and silver, or you're making cookies. You're that kind of.
Yeah, I'm OCD.
Yeah, you are OCD. Yes, which I appreciate in this.
I really am. I mean, when the cookies are stacked up, I can have a little variation, but not much. Just like 10-ounce silver bars should all be the same height. And
well, I've always seen that. I've expected that with collectibles and gold and silver and all that. I just didn't expect it to move into the cookie world, but
yeah,
it does exist.
It follows me in cookies. And then, of course, as you well know, the opal knives are really popular, lots of gold and silver. And those guys are selling lots of jewelry, too. So I'd like to see more coins.
Yeah.
Come in and look at coins, gold bars. We have
what coin? I know here's going to be contrary to what you want to do, because you would like more people to come in and look at the coins that aren't moving as quickly as the others. But which one? I'm going to ask you the flip side. So which coins, what's hot right now?
What's hot is really the affordable stuff. The Christmas engravables, 1-ounce Christmas engravables, things of that nature, affordable jewelry, gold chains have been going out the door. We ordered about 3 times as many as we did last year, and we still have a few more because they're able to get them next date in. But otherwise, we would have been out, and we ordered 3 times the amount of gold chains.
Wow.
So gold chains, usually we sell 10 to 15. We've sold like 30 so far in the last 2 weeks. So.
I wonder you've been doing this a long time, man. What's changing?
Don't really want to say, why are you buying a gold chain? You just want to sell it. But I'm not really sure why the pickup in the gold chains.
But some years it's like different metals or more, right?
Yes. Gold and silver have been very popular, but that market has been so up and down. A lot of people are just taking a step back because they don't realize why the fluctuations. But they give us a call. We'd explain it to them. Yesterday, the Fed announced they were going to leave interest rates as they are, and that caused the stock market and the gold and silver market to shoot up about 10%. So gold went up about $150 within about a 3-minute period.
And so people understand the next step beyond that. When the Fed says that, they're not going to they're keeping them where they are. They're not going to raise them anymore, but they're not lowering them either.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's
They play a funny game with our money. Not everybody understands how that works, and I don't think anybody really truly understands all the facets of it. But they're trying to stave off a recession. They're trying to keep inflation control without dumping it and having a recession start. But nobody can control the economy just by changing an interest rate. They really can't. But they really can affect the gold and silver markets.
And that's why, I always talk about, you've got great gift items here, but you got great advice. And I've learned so much over the years. Also, you've introduced me into precious metals to pay attention. I hadn't bought them yet. But beyond gold and silver, palladium.
Palladium, platinum. We have
the story
all that
on
stuff
these
in
has
stock.
Been real, this is all with automotive. The Fed is working one part of it that's affecting gold and silver prices. And auto manufacturers are doing things that affect platinum and palladium prices.
Yeah, and because of the automotive industry getting a little softer than it had been, palladium has dropped to where it's only a slightly above platinum. It was twice as much. So now would be a great time to jump into palladium. I have it in stock. I might buy a couple myself because a month ago it was close to $2,000. It's down just over $1,000.
And they use this in
catalytic converters.
And everybody said, oh, it's always platinum, but they do both, right? Sometimes they're doing platinum, sometimes they're doing palladium.
Platinum and palladium are right next to each other on the periodic table. So they both have the same effect to actually help. They capture and hold on to those pollutants. They keep them out of the air. And that's why the people that are stealing catalytic converters and cutting them up are not very intelligent. They're some of the most toxic chemicals you can handle inside that catalytic converter. So anybody cuts one of them open without having a hazmat suit on is foolish.
I know, but my question is, the product that they're taking the catalytic converter to go buy some other toxic product to put in their body.
Yes.
So I don't know if
it's from one toxic item to another. So not the smartest people out there for sure.
Yeah, they're not on a big health kick. Possibly,
I would say that. No.
Also in the gift giving world, you mentioned the jewelry and how fast jewelry's going. But I talked about this with Anna last hour. People can buy necklaces, bracelets, rings, different jewelry items, earrings here, that they're not going to buy anywhere else. And they're not going to be, nobody else is going to give them the same gift. There are so many unique, one-of-a-kind, one-offs, whatever the term is, items here.
Yeah, we do lots of estate purchases. So people will bring in the estate. We do official appraisals for estates, so they don't have to sell. They can come in and say, I'm the executor. I need an official appraisal. We'll do that
for them. I need your opinion so it's not mine, Ron.
Yes, that's the important one because you have fiduciary responsibility when you're executor. And if you're not an expert on that, you could end up being financially responsible for selling something at the wrong amount. So we'll step in and help them appraise those items so they can, if they decide to sell them somewhere else, they can make sure they're getting the right amount for them. And we can also help them if they need to divide those items up amongst different who's going to receive those, who the beneficiaries are.
Right. And anybody's been through this. I mean, it's a tough time anyways. You lose a loved one, you're going through this. But you can do generally, I'm sure, this pile of jewelry or coins is worth the same as these other.
Yes. The problem is some people will say, okay, all kids, you get this one, you get that one. And we had one estate that had about $350,000 worth of gold, silver coins.
Wow.
And the mother did with five different kids, well, you get one. Nobody picked. The mother just handed them out. Well, as it was, one daughter got a coin worth $30,000. The next one just got an ounce of gold worth, at the time, $2,000. Big difference in money. So the one girl.
Wait, to the uneducated, it just looked like, well, that's a coin, that's a coin.
Yeah, so the one girl with the high-end stuff came in and sold it. We paid her almost $100,000. The second girl came in and got we offered her about $20,000, and she lost her mind. Sam, my sister got almost $100,000. So thank goodness we still had that stuff held. So everybody got the stuff back together, got it to us, and we divided it equally amongst the kids. And each kid ended up getting about $70,000 worth of stuff, instead of two kids getting most of it and the other ones getting not a lot at all.
And that is, I mean, unless you're educated in this, that coin, to me, I mean, you show me stuff all the time and say, well, this is worth this and this is worth this. And you know what I do? I take your word for it because I don't know. You know, there's so much to it.
Yeah, in that case, the mother wasn't doing anything wrong. All her stuff. She decided to divide it up, but she should have got an expert, not just did a onesie twosie on it. Because as it was, you have fights amongst the children. It's never good when it's already something bad with the husband passing away anyway. So we can help people out with that too.
You know, it's like, and I talk about family members of mine that you've helped here. We've talked about it over the years. Even in cases where they have brought something that they were considering buying in the open market outside, and they brought this item. And you said, gave an idea of what it was worth.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's super important as well, because at least that family member I knew, we're ignorant to what that thing is worth.
Oh, yeah. And we can help people with small, large investments. If somebody comes in and wants to spend $250,000, instead of paying, there's no real retail wholesale with gold and silver. There's a small spread, but we can save them a lot of money by placing the order for them with the wholesaler, so we don't have to take those items out of our current inventory. In some cases, save them about 10% on their deal. So
that's
a lot
when
of
you
people
start talking about those
that.
Totals like that. That's significant.
Yeah, $25,000 on $250,000 deals.
I don't know where you're from, but that's folding money.
I
come from.
Good money. So if people want to do those, come in instead of taking their money, throwing it against the wall. We'll walk them through the different scenarios and show them how much they can save if they're willing to wait 3 to 5 days. Only 3 to 5 days for us to get the product in.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it. I'll take that discount.
We've
for
only had one
day.
Person not take that deal, and it was because they were brought up never to leave anywhere without your goods ever. And if that's what you want to do and lose some money, that's up to you. But they truly said in there they just couldn't do it. So they said it had nothing to do with trust. They were brought up that way.
Well, there you go.
But everybody else usually takes the deal.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal. So, but you could have that. You could get your precious metals 3 to 5 days.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they can come in here on Monday, and by Friday, I got what we talked about on Monday.
It's no rush. We call them, tell them it's in. They can take their time. We hold it. It's insured until they come and pick it up.
Also, your hours during the holidays. This is important. Like I said at the beginning of the segment, for some people, this is the closing of the shopping season. They're just getting those few odds and ends to add in. Some people are midway through. There's some people, maybe like me, that this is the start of our shopping season. So give us some hours. How many times can we come by? What hours? What about Saturdays? All that good stuff.
Yeah, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Saturdays, 9 to 2. And there's two more Saturdays before Christmas. The next one, I believe, is Christmas. Oh, it's all Christmas Eve Eve. So next Saturday will be open 9 to 2. And if the last minute people, usually that last Saturday is really busy, we can stay open later. We won't kick anybody out.
They hadn't kicked me out in years.
Yeah, we'll keep taking the customers until they're done, and then we'll head out. Right. And then between Christmas and New Year's, we will be closed for those 4 days, that Tuesday through Friday. So we're all going to take a break, and then we'll be back open on the 2nd of January.
From the pacing I've seen y'all been doing today, just today while I've been here, y'all deserve more than 4 days off.
It's a lot of work. I mean, we're very grateful for it, but it does take a toll on your mental state. But once again, after the day and you see what your tickets were, you get a big smile on your face.
That's right. That's the way it works. Yeah. Y'all come by and see Ron, and see Anna, and see Nancy, see everybody here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We have a listing of some of the items we've talked about that's on the Facebook page right now. Y'all can go check out the video when Leanna posts it up and check out what we've been talking about. But come in and see the whole breadth of items. Ron, as always, man, thanks for having us.
That's great. Thanks for coming, Sean.
It's always a good time. And then that gives us time to eat some more Dewdrop hot dogs.
Plenty of Dewdrop hot dogs. And once again, kudos to Dewdrops. They do this for us annually with your deal.
Awesome.
And they provide great food, quality food. And please patronize Dewdrop Inn.
Love it. Love it. All right. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, this Friday Eve edition of the show. I'm going to check in with my man David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's check in on inventory. Like, if Santa's out looking for a vehicle, how's it looking on the lot?
It's looking good, Sean. Let's revisit what we talked about yesterday real quick, and we'll figure out, or we'll tell folks why they just don't want to buy something from somebody that's not going to check something out. You remember yesterday I went to Hattiesburg.
That's right. You're on the road to go look at it. Yeah. So how'd that go?
Well, I got up there, and one of them had been smoked in heavily. So had it just been bought online and not looked at, we'd have been in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So we're still looking for one for that gentleman. That particular vehicle didn't work out, but it's a good thing that we did go put our hands on it, and that's something that we do. We try to make sure that we get you the right vehicle, even if we have to drive, you know, 2.5 hours each way and waste our time. But that's part of the deal. We do that for you. We just bought a 2016 Mustang. This is I got a hot rod out here with a BoostWorks twin turbo kit on it. This thing's pushing 700 to 800 horsepower, and it's a rocket ship. I drove it home last night. Wow. I will drive it home again tonight.
David, how many horsepower?
In between 700 and 800. It's a NASCAR. I mean, it's got NASCAR horsepower. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I drove it home last night, and I'm not driving it again because it's too damn fast. I'll get myself in trouble. And it is a car, though. It's something that could be bought under $30,000. People probably spent $25,000 on all the stuff that they put on this car. It is an amazing vehicle.
Holy cow. Okay, I need just a video of that thing running down the road. That's awesome. So people can see that on the lot today?
It's here now, and if there's video of it running down the road, I'll take it because I'm not going to be in it.
Well said. Tell people how to come see you in person and talk about going online as well to check out the vehicles. How do they find you?
Yeah, we got plenty of other vehicles in inventory as well. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. We can text you some pictures of this car. We can crank it up and let you hear a video of it running. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Check us out on Facebook. The car's on Facebook as well.
Good stuff. David, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, have a good weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. You know, and while we're talking about vehicles, so cars and trucks, SUVs at LCM, but also I got a note, I guess it was yesterday, or an update yesterday or the day before from my buddy Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles. I've been talking about, you know, I've been riding that bicycle from Adventure Earth for over a year now, and I love my bike. I have a Scout from Magnum, but he said, hey, Sean, we're continuing the sale. This is text to me. Adventure Earth Bicycle blowout sale. He said, we're going to continue that through December 23rd. So that's what we're talking about. That means all the bicycles are on sale, including the e-bikes and the kids' bikes. He's got mountain bikes. Here's a new update. Okay, so in the text, he said, mountain bikes are on sale, now starting under $400. Beach cruisers on sale now for $300. Adult three-wheelers are also on sale. He has the e-bikes from Ufree, Denago, Aventon, Magnum, Fuji, and Jamis. Those e-bikes on sale for under $1,000 right now. So that's the update. If you think about that bicycle for the kids, for you, for a spouse, whomever, right now is the time to act. Now through the 23rd at Adventure Earth Bicycles, right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport, not too far from where we're sitting right here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So thanks for the update on that, Clint. Y'all check him out, adventure-earth.com. All right, as we move on here for a second, we're still got folks coming in, getting lunch. Still plenty of, I'd say plenty. There's enough of, plenty would be maybe an overstatement. There's been several dozen maybe of the hot dogs from New Drop Eaton, but there's still hot dogs for you. People stopping in, getting hot dogs and some FM Talk 106.5 goodies here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and getting signed up for today's drawing. But I want to get to a news story. I hadn't gotten to this story, and I saw it, and I was talking to Leanna. Of course, Leanna is on scene. You're seeing the videos come up on her Facebook page. She's here to get the New Drop hot dog as well, and do a little work while she's here. And I was telling her, hey, look at this story. It's a drug overdose story, and we have too many of those in this world, but this one may be different than you think. This story coming from the website of MyNBC15, it's an overdose story, okay? People are overdosing now on Ozempic. This is the Ozempic story. This says poison control centers are now getting more calls related to accidental overdoses of a popular injected weight loss and diabetes drug, semaglutide, which is like the street, that's a street name for Ozempic. That's like, get how the hell like that? Like, we got to figure out what the Ozempic street name is. Like, what they calling it on the streets when they get their hands on the Ozempic? It said it's sold as Ozempic for diabetes and Wegovy. Is that like Muscovy duck? Wegovy for obesity. It was the same dang thing. Okay, well, however, several celebrities use Ozempic for weight loss. So I guess they switched from cocaine to Ozempic. Good. U.S. poison centers have documented now 2,941 exposures to products containing semaglutide from January to November this year. Okay. Latest numbers are a 15-fold increase since 2019. Let's see. The chief medical advisor for the Bipartisan Policy Center, gosh, that sounds boring, Dr. Anand Parekh says there's been so much demand that there has been a shortage of these medications in the market. We've heard that story. He said, unfortunately, there's a lot of fake and counterfeit medication, and so that's the first. Secondly, the pharmacies are compounding it or making it this or their own way. Unfortunately, what they also use sometimes, they incorrectly dose the medicine, and sometimes they add additional ingredients, end quote. Now, if he's getting ready to say in this story that they're putting fentanyl in the Ozempic, then there's no way. That's the next thing that there's. It says Ozempic and Wegovy's manufacturer Novo Nordisk is suing two pharmacies for copycat drugs. So now we've got the Garanimals version out there of the Ozempic being sold by these other people. Be aware. By the way, I have not looked anywhere in this story because there's a lot of times people who are new to this show and don't realize who they're listening to. I don't think there's fentanyl in the Ozempic. Okay, so calm down. So back to the fentanyl in the Ozempic. They said, according to the American College of Medical Toxicology, an overdose case out of New York involved a patient, so this is the worry, taking 20 times the recommended amount of Ozempic. They said, we are seeing now increases to poison control centers, either for an overdose or for adverse effects, and in some cases that's leading to nausea, vomiting, dehydration, low blood sugar, and causing people to go to the emergency room in some cases. Well, okay, let me go through this. And once again, just I'm probably so stupid I don't know anything like the doctor people do. But if people are taking Ozempic to lose weight, right? Nausea, well, that keeps you from eating. Vomiting, that gets rid of weight you already have. Dehydration, you know you weigh a couple pounds less when you're dehydrated. low blood sugar. If you got diabetes, isn't that what you're going for? Not having high blood sugar and causing people to go to the emergency room. Well, people have all kind of hobbies out there. So I'm just wondering if any of those effects they say are weird, they seem to be spot on to me. And it says, by the way, if you have overdosing, Ozempic and Wegovy questions or need emergency, do I have to start the story by saying, if you're listening to the story, call 911 if you have a problem with Ozempic or whatever. But it says, if you need emergency assistance because of Ozempic, call Poison Control, 800-222-1222, or poisonhelp.org. By the way, Dalton, I know you're running things at the studio. Get ready. One of the crybaby people out there will be calling the station shortly, I'm sure, saying that I was making light of people with Ozempic overdose issues, and they want to take me to task. If they want to call my boss, call the main number at FM Talk 1065, 344-1065, and ask for Sean Sullivan. Y'all have a great time. Paul Feinbaum's next. As always, a big thank you to the folks at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry for having us out. And I'm getting ready to start my Christmas shopping. See ya!